Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You want the upper hand in your fantasy football leagues? Then you've come to the right place. You're listening to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. Now, here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui and Zach Rizzuto.
Welcome back to the show. This is Faraz. I'm here with Zach. This is the Mailbag Show, Week 14. If you had Zeke in your lineup, you're feeling pretty damn good right now. Dude, nice little advantage going into Sunday, huh?
Who would have thought?
Of course, Zach had Zeke in his lineup. Of course he did. The former Cowboy, was in your lineup, and he absolutely killed me last night. And it is what it is. You know, we're both already in the playoffs, though. So, you know, it's okay. Even if I catch the L this week because Zeke had to put up the damn near 30 points, you know, it'll be all right.
Yeah,
because we're all in the playoffs. I'm shooting for most points. I'm trying to make it there. If I score a lot of points this week, you know, Deontay Johnson didn't help. But, you know, well, he did actually.
He had a touchdown. I think he did his job. If you look at the grand scheme of things and the way your lineup is like 14 points from Deontay Johnson, I'll take that every day of the week.
For sure.
He's technically a wide receiver three. So
pretty much. Or four. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even see you have Nico Collins. What's he doing in your flex? Put him in the
Listen, because Deontay Johnson played on Thursday night. Okay. Everyone knows.
Yeah.
The rule is you got to put the Thursday night players in your positional spot. All right, Zach. Okay.
This is true.
A nice little reminder for everybody. Okay. But too late now. You know, Zeke had 30 opportunities, right? And he wasn't so efficient in the run game. It didn't matter, though, because he caught 7 of 8 targets for 72 yards and a touchdown. The Patriots have no weapons, dude, right now. Because Demaryius Douglas was out. Devontae Parker was out. He got all the targets. He led the team in targets. He has the Chiefs next week. So even in a negative game script, you're not too worried because those targets will be there. But just overall, great fantasy night. For Zeke. I think, you know, I don't know if he's going to be scoring 27 points every week, but like we talked about his floor like being like 10 points. You know, I think that is his floor moving forward because depending on the matchups. But I'll say this about the Chiefs. The Chiefs are, I think, second in yards per carry allowed to running backs this year. It's one of those things where like Zeke can potentially, you know, if he does only get maybe like 10 carries in the game because it's a negative game script, he could, you know, maybe put up 4 yards of carry in addition to his receptions.
He's a super safe option as far as I'm concerned. And I think like I would have been fine if he put up 14 fantasy points. I've been like, yeah, this is what we expected, you know, and I would have rolled into next week thinking, all right, he can have a solid week, but he puts up 27. Like you said, I don't think that's going to continue to happen. He wasn't efficient in the ground on the ground game at all. He only had 68 yards on 22 carries, but the receiving work, that was good enough. He looked like a wide receiver. At least when you look at the box score, 7 of 8 for 72 and a touchdown, you don't get that from a lot of flex players, really. So
that's a Demaryius Douglas stat line right there. Like Demaryius Douglas was out, he put a Demaryius Douglas stat line out there.
Honestly, that's like an Amon-Ra St. Brown stat line. If you look at the games where he hasn't had upside, you know, like 7 of 8 targets, he was efficient catching the ball. I'm okay with this. You know, I'm looking at Zeke. He's definitely going to be an RB2 next week if he's going to get this type of workload. The Patriots absolutely had to. I think they only had 3 wide receivers active last night, right? It was Juju, it was Tyquan Thornton, and it was Jalen Reagor. So, of course, they were going to throw to Zeke a bunch. Like, that was the perfect, you know, concoction that they needed for Zeke to get this. And honestly, his night could have been bigger if Bailey Zappe didn't turn into Tom Brady for a quarter and a half. You know, and he was throwing dots to freaking Hunter Henry. That was just ridiculous.
By the way, it was Hunter Henry's birthday. That's
that
why
must have been
touchdowns.
Why. Yeah, okay. That's fair. That's the only explanation, the only logical explanation. But yeah, Zeke looked great last night. I'm very happy. Yeah. You know, I'm just kind of riding that high. I wasn't expecting that.
We can tell Zach is pretty happy this morning. He slept pretty well.
14 points was the expectation. And then when you look after the first quarter and he has 13, it's like, whoa, okay.
Yeah. Well, the Steelers offense couldn't get anything going at all with Trubisky under center. The offense was just lost from the beginning. Deontay Johnson did come through with that touchdown. Still an underwhelming performance. Didn't get the targets, didn't get the catches. But Najee Harris seemed to be just fine in terms of, like, you know, him being healthy. He didn't play that great, but, you know, he didn't practice all week. He got 12 carries to Jaylen Warren's 7. Warren ended up with 5 targets to Najee's 3. Once I saw that Tom Pelissero report later in the day about Najee not really having a new injury, I had to, like, I don't know if you saw this, but I had to submit new rankings like late last night. You know, like before the game, because to move Warren down, you know, this was something that was a little bit under the radar going into the game, that Najee didn't actually have something that was new, and that in a normal week he would have practiced, right? Which told me that, oh, okay, wait, this is not going to be, you know, all Jaylen Warren. Because initially, I was like, oh, well, you know, he didn't practice. He probably has a new knee injury. They probably will limit him. But that wasn't the case in this game.
No, it wasn't. And the running backs, just in general, I don't know what's going on with the Steelers. Because I know their offense isn't great, but against the Patriots, and I know the Patriots have been good on defense too these past few games, but like the way that they've been producing, like we saw Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris were on heaters 2 weeks ago. You know, they were coming off a game. They had two or three straight games of both of them being solid RB2 plays, and now they're both, you know, suddenly super inefficient. It was a short week, I'll give them that. And having Mitch Trubisky under center doesn't do a whole lot for them. But the volume has been the same, and maybe a little bit less than what we've seen the past few weeks, and they're just not producing. So I think there's just a general cloud over the whole Steelers offense right now. You saw George Pickens in the end zone if you watched the game, where he just like flopped. He was like, are you kidding? On the one, I forget what it was. It was the fourth down attempt, and Mitch Trubisky just pitched out to Jaylen Warren. There were three defenders there just waiting for him, and he was pissed, you could see. I don't know what's going on with the offense. It's weird, though, because Mitch Trubisky actually had a solid fantasy night. Now, the number of people that started him, probably very low. Sleeper says 4% start. So if you had Mitch Trubisky in your lineup, he put up 21 points quietly. And it didn't feel like a
rushing touchdown.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a 21-point performance, though. Like, if you watch the game, it was just like ridiculous.
Bailey Zappi, three touchdowns in the first half.
Oh, you thought you were cruising to like 5 touchdowns. Like, the Patriots didn't put up any points in the second half. It was just ridiculous.
He would have threw a pick six. It would have been a pick six if Zeke didn't. Did you get any fantasy points for that, by the way?
A tackle for Zeke? Yeah, no, Zeke, there's tackling? No defensive stats. I don't think so. Although they probably should get points for that, you know?
For that? Saving a pick six? I mean,
just a tackle in general. If you have a tackle on offense, that just means, you know, like, just give us a little silver lining here.
Zeke might have won the game with that tackle, to be honest, right? I mean,
well, yeah, you know, hindsight is 20/20.
They were down by, they only lost by 3 points, the Steelers. Yeah. So, you know, that would have changed the game completely.
They only put up 8 points in the second half, and then Patriots just fell flat, but they saved it. The defense for the Patriots isn't that bad. Like, they've been playing very well over these past few weeks. It's just overshadowed by the fact that they were losing all of those games. I don't know. It was just a weird game. It was a much better game than I thought it would be. You know, I thought it would be like 10-7.
Yeah,
and that wasn't an over-exaggeration because Vegas had the total at 30, and they broke that at halftime. So,
well, the first half was pretty entertaining, and then later in the second half, you know, like, the Steelers started coming back. So it was interesting. Interesting game.
It was interesting.
Let's move on to some news. Both Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet practiced in a limited capacity on Thursday. It's possible that both of them suit up. We'll see. I have Kenneth Walker, if he does play, I have him as like a mid RB2 this week. You know, obviously it's a tough matchup against San Francisco. But I think it's one of those situations where Walker is just that talented where, like, you know, he could come through any given week, right? So, you know, a mid RB2 for Kenneth Walker is really low for Kenneth Walker, right? I do think that, you know, will they limit him at all first week back? Maybe. But then at the same time, Zach Charbonnet is also banged up, right? So, like, do they limit him that much, you know, is the question. And my assumption would be that it was just an abdomen injury. Nothing too serious. Mm-hmm. Nothing like, it wasn't a lower leg injury or anything like that. So it is possible we see Walker. If this is a close game, Walker could end up, you know, with 18 carries, you know, pretty easily. Brock Purdy didn't play so well the first time around against the Seahawks. Like, this type of coverage shells that the Seahawks deploy, not really what Brock Purdy, plays well against. So we'll see. But, you know, how are you viewing Kenneth Walker if he ends up playing and Zach Charbonnet ends up suiting up as well?
So if both of them go, I think that Kenneth Walker should be started just like usual. You know, I think a low RB2 makes sense. If Kenneth Walker goes and Zach Charbonnet doesn't go, I think there's a little bit more security in terms of what his floor is going to be in this game. The problem that I have with this one is that the Seahawks couldn't keep it close at home against the 49ers. And my concern is like the game script, it might get away from them. We just saw an offensive shootout between the Cowboys and the Niners, not Cowboys and the Seahawks last week. And that was pretty much, I mean, Charbonnet had his touchdown, but that was earlier in the game. At the end of the game, it just devolved into passing. You know, there wasn't any need to run the ball. So I think we could see something similar here because the 49ers are absolutely on fire right now. They just smoked the Eagles. Now they're at home. My concern is the game script. I do think that the volume is going to be there enough that there's a low RB2. Like, I don't think it's going to be a situation where the 49ers go up like the Lions did on the Saints last week, where it's 21-0 in the first 7 minutes. But I think that eventually this game is going to get away from the Seahawks. I don't think that we're going to continue to see the type of success that they had in the passing game last week against Dallas for Seattle moving into this week against the 49ers. But I think that the floor is there enough. The volume is going to be there enough that makes him a low RB2. That I'm not like psyched about having him in my lineup, but if he plays, you can't keep him out of your lineup at that point. So I'm putting him in my lineup. I'm tempering expectations, but I do think that he'll be a solid start. You know, even in the game script, I just don't think the upside is going to be there. Like, we're not going to see him scoring 2 touchdowns in this one.
You shouldn't have said that.
It's going to happen now, right? You don't have him on your team, right? You don't have him on your team, right? Because that's like the kiss of death. And
I have him on my team going up against you this week. But he's not in my lineup, though, right now, as of now.
Well, you know, yeah, so I it was either. Would you put him in over Tony Pollard? I don't think so.
I don't think probably not. And no. You know, and my wide receiver. So it was either I played Deontay Johnson or I wait for Kenneth Walker. Since I wasn't sure if Kenneth Walker is going to play, I just ended up playing Deontay pretty much because I have Nico Collins, I have a bunch of other good wide receivers, and yeah. So I think he might end up staying on my bench this week. Taysom Hill didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday. He has a hand injury. Something to monitor here, right? A lot of people might have been depending on Taysom Hill this week as their tight end, so keep that in mind. If he doesn't go, there's going to be more carries to go around for Alvin Kamara, more work for these running backs. Jamal Williams might get more involved. It's funny how uninvolved Jamal Williams has been, you know, despite getting quote unquote paid. And I talked about it yesterday on the show, but you know, you weren't there, so I wanted to bring it up. But Taysom Hill, you know, no practice. Chris Olave, you know, I think is somebody who's going to get a ton of targets in this game, regardless of who the quarterback is. Jameis Winston, you know, could be the quarterback if Derek Carr ends up missing the game with a concussion. This is Derek Carr's second concussion of within just like a few weeks, but he did get a limited practice in on Thursday. So there is a chance that he ends up playing this week. So a little bit of a fluid situation here, but if you have Taysom Hill, I would make sure to have another option just in case.
Right. Doesn't Derek Carr, I know he has a concussion, but doesn't he also have like a shoulder and a back injury? Like he's just like a whole list of injuries.
But
like he's just playing.
There was
for
a
everything.
Report. Yeah, there was a report that said that the other injuries aren't a concern right now. Okay. So that's good to know because I think then there was a chance that like he might not play even if he gets clear from the concussion, right? So because of that report, you're like, all right, well, it seems like if he gets clear from the concussion, he would play. That's what it seems like right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I just looked at that injury report. It's like, whoa, that's a lot of stuff that he's
like
dealing with
my
right
neck,
there.
Like my back, my head, just like
Like, would I be suiting up if that was my injury report? I don't know, but I don't know. Derek Carr's getting paid a lot of money, so we'll see.
No.
But my takeaway from Taysom Hill, my takeaway from Taysom Hill just being like, out, like. It does Alvin Kamara now have insurance from his touchdowns being vultured, or is that just going to be Jamal Williams' job now? Right.
No, it's all Alvin. It's all Alvin, I feel like.
Yeah,
you know? I think Taysom is just that utility guy that they use. So I think Alvin's my RB2 in the week behind CMC this week.
Yeah. Fact check says that is true. I think he's all of our RB2.
Yeah. Oh, is he? Okay, good. Aaron Jones was limited on practice on Thursday. This is the Packers' first practice of the week because they play on Monday night against the Giants. So there's a chance that he plays. I don't even have him in my rankings right now because I didn't think he would be suiting up. So we'll see. Let's monitor his practices. I don't think he's going to get one full practice the rest of the season. So just keep that in mind. He'll be limited throughout.
That is funny.
I don't even think he got a full practice in like even before this injury, right? He was just limited the entire
time. It feels like the whole season, it's just been like, what is Aaron Jones' status for practice? You know, it's like, it's never been like, oh yeah, he's getting full practice. It's been limited. But it's funny, I'm looking at the rankings. There's just an empty spot in the rankings where he is on your list. It's right, hilarious. Right. Not even there. Like, that just tells you what you need to know. Just to be clear, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Aaron Jones either. I don't even know if I'd want to start him, even if he does go, because like, there's a chance he's limited. Like, he's already splitting carries when he's on the field with AJ Dillon. Yeah, the matchup's good, but
the matchup's
Jordan Love's been the one getting it done through the air, and the Giants are allowing a lot of points to receivers. This would have been a Christian Watson game, but he's also supposedly banged up.
Yeah, he got the hamstring injury. I doubt that I doubt that he plays. He didn't practice yesterday. We'll see. We'll get there. We have a couple of questions from the mailbag on these Packers wide receivers, so we'll get there in a sec. Couple running backs didn't practice. Isaiah Pacheco, no practice Wednesday or Thursday. Okay. Jerick McKinnon did get a full practice in. So, you know, I think he would be the pickup. Isaiah Pacheco, just monitor him to see if he ends up playing. Okay.
Yeah.
Breece Hall did not practice either Wednesday or Thursday, but when he was asked if there was any problem for Sunday, he basically said that there was no issues for playing Sunday and that his ankle is fine. Okay. Dalvin Cook would be the pickup if you need a running back pretty badly. If Breece Hall doesn't,
you'd have to be down.
It seems like
you're running back. If you're going to go pick up Dalvin Cook,
really, really bad. Dalton Schultz didn't practice on Thursday with that. I think he has a hamstring injury, right? If he doesn't go, Brevin Jordan can be a solid streamer against the Jets. The Jets have been giving up some fantasy points to the tight end position, so Brevin Jordan could be someone you can pick up if Taysom Hill doesn't go, right? And if you were depending on him, all right. Let's get to the mailbag, baby.
Let's do it.
We had a couple of Elijah Moore questions. Amari Cooper has that concussion. He hasn't practiced on Wednesday or Thursday. This likely means he won't play this week. So, you know, how much are we upgrading Elijah Moore, right? KCiv13 asks, Jordan Addison, Elijah Moore, or Noah Brown this week? Okay. And by the way, Noah Brown did get a full practice in on Thursday, so that's good. He hasn't had a full practice for several weeks now with that knee injury. But he also has a tough matchup against the Jets, and I would expect him to play more on the outside with Tank Dell banged up, and we've seen that transition already for Brown. So I think I'm fading him personally. And Jordan Addison, you know, he has Justin Jefferson coming back. He already wasn't producing big time with Josh Dobbs. Does the coverage move away from him a little bit? And, you know, he benefits from that. I don't know if that's something that I'm banking on personally for in this situation. I think Kirk Cousins is really what Jordan Addison's missing here. So
that's what it felt like.
You know, I think, I think Elijah Moore as the number one target from Joe Flacco, 12 targets last week, you know, playing more on the outside, being targeted downfield, not just being relegated to the slot at this point. Good matchup against Jacksonville on the perimeter. Like, I think I'm going Elijah here.
Yeah, and I think that's the way I would go too. And it just comes down to just, like you mentioned, the 12 targets last week from Joe Flacco. I think Joe Flacco is the best quarterback that they have in terms of, you know, supporting fantasy weapons, you know, that they've had since Deshaun Watson. And honestly, and I talked about this a couple of days ago, it's like Joe Flacco didn't look any worse than any of the other quarterbacks that they've put out there. So, like, what are you really worried about with any of these Browns receivers at this point, especially if Elijah Moore is going to be getting the 12 targets? Maybe it won't be 12 targets this week, but if he's still going to get 8-9 targets, like, I'm fine with that. He wasn't very efficient on those targets last week. He only had 4 catches, but they went for 83 yards. So like you mentioned, he is getting targeted downfield. I don't want to trust Jordan Addison because he wasn't producing without Justin Jefferson in the lineup. Now Justin Jefferson's back. Josh Dobbs kind of came back down to earth. And there you go. You see the pun there. Astronaut, you came back. Pastronaut, he came back. He's down to earth. So I don't want to really bank on Josh Dobbs getting Jordan Addison a high target share. What? You don't appreciate that one?
I like it. No, I do. Right, I love it. I just wanted to give my appreciation for that one.
Yes, yeah, Josh Dobbs came back on there. And then I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how much I trust Noah Brown at this point. He's coming back. He had those two big weeks. But also, like, this is one of those games. I don't know if the weather still holds up. I haven't checked. But I know earlier in the week they were saying that there might be weather in this one. And if the game...
I looked at the weather on that. So I have looked at the weather. It seems like it could rain. And if there's wind, it's like around 10 miles per hour. So nothing too crazy.
That's not bad. Yeah. Nothing too crazy. All right. Perfect. So I think it would come down to Noah Brown and Elijah Moore. But just the target share that we saw for Elijah Moore last week was good. And the matchup is much better for him compared to the Jets, you know, who don't allow a whole lot of points to wide receivers. So I think I'm going Elijah Moore here too.
So Mike underscore Zish, another Elijah Moore question. He's asking, who would you rather have a wide receiver as a wide receiver three rest of the season? Elijah Moore, Brandon Cooks, or Jaden Reed?
Okay, that's a really interesting one. With Elijah Moore, you know, we just kind of qualified him as this target earner right now, but he's going to eventually have Amari Cooper coming back, and I don't want to bank on Elijah Moore just sticking with those targets that he's had these past couple weeks. Now, I think he's absolutely deserving of those targets, but I just don't think that's going to be the case if Amari Cooper comes back, because before that, the target share wasn't fantastic. He was only getting 5-7 targets a game, and they weren't really high-quality ones, but granted, that was with different quarterbacks. Maybe that could stick with Joe Flacco. Brandon Cooks is interesting because you just look at the offense that he's in, and it's high-scoring. They score a lot of touchdowns, and he's been coming through the past few weeks. He's a wide receiver 9 in total points scored over the past 4 weeks. You know, he has 3 very solid, you know, fantasy performances over the past few weeks and touchdowns in those games. And then Jaden Reed, you know, he's kind of being used all over the place in this interesting role in the Packers offense. The Packers offense is also playing really well, because Jordan Love is doing his thing. I think if you want the safest option, I think your best bet would be Brandon Cooks, because I think the way that the Cowboys offense is playing, he's come on after the bye as a target for Dak Prescott. He's getting touchdowns. If he scores a touchdown, you see it in his game log. You know, he's going to have a solid finish for you. And Jaden Reed, though, I think is the upside play. I'm kind of intrigued with Jaden Reed. You know, he wasn't perfectly healthy last week. We saw that he only played 47% of snaps, but he's got 2 good matchups these next few weeks against the Giants and the Buccaneers. So I think I'm going to err on the side of upside here. With Christian Watson out, I think I'm going to go Jaden Reed here, because I like the upside that he has. Brandon Cooks, you're counting on a touchdown. Jaden Reed, he's getting more of the diverse volume that you like to see. I'm going to go with Jaden Reed for this one.
Yeah, I think I lean Reed as well, by a hair over Cooks, I should say. Now, what I do like about Cooks is that they do have competitive games like the rest of the way. Philly,
right.
Buffalo, Miami, Detroit, right? And the last week against Detroit, very, very appealing, for these wide receivers, especially on the perimeter. But Jaden Reed, like you said, Giants, Tampa Bay, these 2 weeks. Carolina in week 16, a little bit of a tough matchup, but out of the slot, a little bit better. And then Minnesota, week 17, not great against slot wide receivers. So Jaden Reed is getting a little bit more of the targets, right? I think he'll be a little bit more of a focal point with Christian Watson banged up. I think I lean Jaden Reed as well, because he's getting that work in the run game, like you said. So I think I agree. But it's close, very, very close between him and Brandon Cooks, though, I would say.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with
Sean M. Reed,
I should say.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Sean M. Reed, 1, has a good problem on his hands, but it's a tough decision. He's asking to bench one of these 4 wide receivers: Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Chris Olave, Brandon Ayuk. Okay. Now, if I had to choose one guy who's most likely in for sure, it's Chris Olave. 3 straight games and 90-plus yards. He could have Jameis Winston as his quarterback this week. Not the best matchup in the world against Carolina, but he is a true one who's getting the targets. Taysom Hill also banged up, right?
Yep.
I mentioned yesterday that I'm tempering expectations for Stephon Diggs because of the matchup against Lajarius Sneed, but I think he'll be in for me as well. It's hard to bench Diggs, right? He can get it done anyway.
Especially in this kind of game.
It would be between Nico and Ayuk. And it's, for me, it's just harder to bench Nico right now, man, because he's the number one for CJ Stroud, and he almost dropped 200 yards last week, you know, in a tough matchup against the Broncos. Ayuk's been scoring touchdowns, and Brock Purdy didn't play well against the Seahawks the first time around, and Ayuk is only averaging 5 targets per game over the last 4 weeks with all their guys healthy. So I think I have to go with CJ Stroud's clear number one, even in a tough matchup. And I know it might be raining also, like I mentioned, but wind doesn't appear to be a huge factor in that game. But it's close.
Yeah. With the weather, it's not the rain, it's the wind that matters. And if the wind is going to die down, then it's like you can kind of calm yourself a little bit and hang your hat on that, be like, okay, it's not going to be that bad. But you look at it, and you bring up a good point with Brandon Ayuk. The targets that he's getting isn't anywhere near the stratosphere that Nico Collins has been at these past few weeks. And I think that's kind of what I'm going to lean into as well. You know, we talk about utilization. I know Brandon Ayuk's part of a good offense, but he's also competing with Christian McCaffrey for a touchdown. Like, Brandon Ayuk, he needs those touchdowns. You know, he needs to be super efficient on the work that he's getting to give you comparable production to what you're going to get with Nico Collins. It's just like a baseline. That's the way I look at it, especially with Tank Dell.
And
like
he's got it. Are you scored four touchdowns in the last four games, right? So he's been getting it, but that's going to come to an end at some point, right? I don't think he's going to score a touchdown for every game for the rest of the year.
Exactly. And like that goes back to, like I said, like you have so many weapons in the offense. We saw Deebo Samuel score three last week. It's just, you know, that's the way it's been for Brandon Ayuk. Unfortunately, like, I know you've been on this for a while, you know, Brandon Ayuk, if he could just get that consistent heavy target share, you know, he's averaging four or five targets these past few games. That's not going to get it done. You're really kind of just banking on that touchdown. And I don't want to say it feels like Brandon Cooks where you need that touchdown from the produce, but that's kind of been the case where Nico Collins, like you mentioned, he's now the clear number one. There's no question about who's going to be getting the ball first and foremost in this offense from CJ Stroud. He almost put up the 200 last week. I'm with Nico Collins on this one. I don't think I'm going to put Ayuk in this situation. Obviously, Stephon Diggs has a tough matchup, but pretty much everything you said makes sense. I'm not even thinking twice about Chris Olave, especially like if there's a chance that Jameis Winston's going to play. Like I'm definitely he's going to have 13 or 14 targets in that game if Jameis Winston's throwing the ball.
Yeah, 100%, man. All right. M.O.Riz is asking, what are your thoughts on Staley saying Eckler's work might be eaten into by Josh Kelly? Now, this sounds like someone who knows he's on the hot seat, first of all.
Right.
Right. But it's also something you have to consider, right? 3.5 yards per carry for Eckler since his return from injury. That's 33rd of 39 qualifying running backs, right? His PFF run grade has been 38th of those 39 qualifying running backs. He's had three fumbles, lost all of them. So I get it, man. You know, I think we were downgrading Eckler already. You know, we had him as a low-end RB1 coming into this week. And the reason why he's still that high is because he can pop in the receiving game at any point. Like we saw a 7-catch, 94-yard performance in week 8. You know, he went 4 for 48. He went 5 for 32 recently. So that possibility is there. But with him being so ineffective, like you're kind of banking on that to make sure he gets it done for you, right? And if he's not scoring, then like he's supposed to be the touchdown monster, right? He only had 4 touchdowns in the last 8 games. So that's not happening either. So you have to consider benching him this week if you have good options, right? Now, I wouldn't overdo it. Now, Better Late Than Trevor is asking if Eckler is trustworthy enough to start against Denver. And I think it all depends on your options. I think I would start him as a RB2, maybe not as a RB1 at this point, especially after Staley's comments. But, you know, should we be starting him over guys like Saquon, Mostert, Pollard, Gibbs, Montgomery, Joe Mixon, right? These are like the guys who are at that like high-end RB2 fringe, right? Like, should we be just starting these guys over him at this point?
I feel like you have to. And for me, part of this is it's not all entirely Austin Eckler's fault. You know, I don't want to say this is just Austin Eckler sucks. You know, he's not going to be able to turn things around. He still has the opportunity to turn things around. But the Chargers offense hasn't been playing very well. They haven't been producing like they should over these past few weeks. And this he's just kind of suffering along with them in terms of his production. Like the usage in the run game hasn't changed from what we're used to seeing. And the targets have come down a little bit. It's just the efficiency is effectively gone from his game. Like it just hasn't been there. The touchdowns are also gone, but that's also because the Chargers aren't scoring a whole lot of touchdowns on their own either. So for me, I don't want to start him over any of those guys that you just mentioned, really. You know, I think there's something to be said. I think maybe you can make an argument for maybe Mostert and Pollard. You want to think maybe twice about not starting him over them because Pollard might be game scripted out of this one. Mostert with Devon Achane, you know, you never know what could happen there. So I think there's a chance where he could outperform them. But guys like Saquon, who have the workload 100%, you know, locked and loaded. Dave Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, both very good, the big parts of the offense there. Joe Mixon's been on a heater. I don't want to throw him in over them. The matchup is good against Denver. And to just comment on the question, just a comment on what Brandon Staley said about Austin Eckler, it doesn't change anything for me because, oh no, Austin Eckler, there might be more of a committee. Like Austin Eckler he's been putting up committee numbers the past 3 weeks. Like nothing's really changing. Who knows? Maybe a committee, maybe they make that change or whatever. And Austin Eckler starts looking a little bit more efficient. I don't think the comments change anything for me because he already isn't producing at the level we want him to. It's not like it's going to get worse at this point. He's had 3 single-digit performances in a row.
Listen, it can. And the reason why it can is because he's getting the volume and he's not producing with it. If his volume goes down, like, can we, are we guaranteed if more efficiency just because it's less volume? Like, I don't know. Right. And that's my concern here. You know,
do you think you could rationally justify, maybe this is just Brandon Staley getting desperate, but could you rationally justify not giving Austin Eckler the touches after, I guess it's like a, you're holding on to, we know what he can be, but he hasn't been that. Like, is Josh Kelly that much of an upgrade? Is anybody behind him that much of an upgrade? Has anybody shown a spark? Exactly. Has anybody shown anything?
That's the, you know what I mean? That's the question.
I don't think, right? They can.
That's the question.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to, is Eckler healthy, right? And would a healthy running back, whoever that is, be a little bit more effective in the run game, right? And I think that is the question. If Eckler was 100%, if he wasn't coming off that high ankle sprain, would he be a different running back? And my answer would be yes. He probably would be if he didn't have that injury, you know, at the beginning of the year.
That first game that he had. And granted, it was a high-scoring one. But, you know, he was super efficient. 7 yards a carry. Yeah.
Our sponsor for this episode is Better Vision. It's an app that allows you to keep track of all of your bets in one place. If you have accounts on all of these different sports books, you have to switch between them to see whether you're up or not. You lose track of where you play certain bets, and it gets confusing. But not anymore, not with Better Vision. All of your bets are tracked in one place. And not only that, the best part is Better Vision will let you know which betting platforms have the best odds for certain bets. All right. So if you like a play, normally you would look through all of your apps one by one to see which one has the best odds. And then you end up playing on that app. But why not have a side-by-side comparison all on one screen within one app? And then you just click on the bet that you want to make within Better Vision and you're good to go. Okay. Go check it out. It's completely free. Go to bettervision.us or go to the app store and search Better Vision. That's better with an O. So BETTOR Vision in the app store today. Moving on, Trevor D'Amico asks, do you think JSN's 11 targets and continued great talk by Pete Carroll point to a breakout? I think it definitely can. Now, you know, some might remember a while back before JSN was doing much, I kept making sure people didn't drop him, right? He was always on my waiver wire list if he fell below 50% roster. People didn't understand why. He was always on my check if he's available list, even though it wasn't obvious, because the talent is there, right? Like, a second half breakout was always possible. Now, we're past the second half, right? Like, we're in, like, the last quarter. But, you know, we see this with a lot of rookies, especially wide receivers. We're so used to these early breakouts recently. But traditionally, rookie wide receivers tend to need to get their feet under them a little bit, right? And we saw a 7-catch, 62-yard performance, 11 targets, led the team in targets last week. He almost had that touchdown as well. And if you follow the Coach Speak Index on Twitter, you know, they mentioned that in season, when Pete Carroll blows smoke, it usually pans out. So I do think there's a chance he can do some things the rest of the way. 49ers, Eagles, Titans, Steelers, like, not bad at all in terms of matchups. So we could see him as a wide receiver 3. Now, I still have him outside my top 36 this week, right? Yep. So I, you know, only two teams on bye. So, you know, related to that, you know, Antoine R08 is asking Romeo Dubs or Jaxon Smith-Njigba this week. Like, I think I'm going Dubs here. You know, like, he finds the end zone without Christian Watson. We see some solid target share. 3 top 20 finishes to start the year when Watson was banged up, and the matchup against the Giants, right? Pretty damn good. Like,
yeah.
Are you thinking that maybe JSN can do some things against the 49ers this week, or would you rather go Dubs?
So for me, I still think, and it goes back to the idea of, like, what is the game script going to be for the 49ers and Seahawks? I do think the Seahawks are going to be playing from behind. I think that's going to play into Jaxon Smith-Njigba's hands. So I actually have JSN ranked as my wide receiver 36. I know you have him outside your top 36. I have him ranked as my wide receiver 36. And that's 2 spots ahead of Romeo Dubs. Now, I know Romeo Dubs, the Packers offense has looked good. Jordan Love's playing very well. I think that there's a chance that the Packers could go up in this one and lean on the ground game. And I know I talk game script a whole lot, but Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I think he did show something last week. And like you mentioned, Pete Carroll saying that he's going to get some potentially, you know, more run down the rest of the way. I think that there's something to be said there for that. It's not anything to just ignore. I do like JSN. I think he's playing better than he was earlier in the season. And Tyler Lockett, he's kind of, I don't want to say he's falling out of favor, but he hasn't had the target share where it's like, okay, we definitely have this situation where he's a clear one over Jaxon Smith-Njigba these past couple of weeks. Like JSN is challenging him for that role. I don't want to say Tyler Lockett is washed, but we're kind of seeing this where JSN is becoming a bigger part of the offense. This week, I'm fine if you want to shoot for a little bit of upside in what could be a negative game script, but starting JSN. I think Romeo Doubs is definitely the safer option, especially with Christian Watson out. But at the same time, Jaden Reed's there. You know, if Aaron Jones plays, there could be more touches going in the ground game. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But I have JSN over Romeo Doubs. I might go him just in the interest of upside if the game script can be negative. I do think, like I said, the Seahawks are going to be chasing points. But I don't know if it's going to be a blowout like it was last week or 2 weeks ago on Thanksgiving where the Seahawks just couldn't get anything going on offense. Because I was slightly encouraged by what we saw against Dallas. Because Dallas is a good defense. And the Seahawks were able to put up some points.
Very encouraged. I agree with you. I just like it, you know, this Giants defense, man. Like they're giving up.
Yeah.
They're giving up the second most fantasy points to wide receivers over the last 4 weeks, the second most over the last 8 weeks. And by the way, we talked about Jaden Reed. The Giants have given up the most fantasy points to slot wide receivers over the last 4 weeks. So keep that in mind with him. But on the perimeter, where Dubs runs most of his routes from. Runs most of his routes, like almost 90% of his routes. Like the Giants are giving up, let's see, trying to find it here. The Giants are giving up the sixth most fantasy points over the last 4 weeks and the eighth most over the last 8 weeks. So, you know, I like the matchup, but I agree. Like JSN could see the targets, you know, if the 49ers end up going up big early. We'll see. Right. It's close though. I mean, you had them two spots away from each other. So, all right, Zach. Troy Traveler is asking, is Calvin really a must start given the Christian Kirk injury?
No. That one's pretty simple for me. I don't think a whole lot has changed. I do think that there's a slight uptick in terms of what he offers in terms of security. But what we saw last week was Parker Washington coming in and just taking over his role pretty much. Because Parker Washington took pretty much all the slot snaps once Christian Kirk was out. And he had a better game than Calvin Ridley. So I don't want to just go like, okay, Christian Kirk is out. You know, suddenly Calvin Ridley is going to be this must start because there's also, don't forget, Evan Engram just scored his first touchdown of the year on this past Monday night. So he's still been part of the offense. He's had a ton of targets. He was having a little bit of Deontay Johnson syndrome where he was getting all these targets, consistent target share every single game, just wasn't scoring, finally finds the end zone. I think he's going to continue to be a big part of the offense moving forward like he's been. It's not like he wasn't before. And then also Parker Washington here, I think that there's also a chance that he remains involved if he's going to be running out of the slot because he played pretty well coming out of the slot. And then also, Trevor Lawrence, I don't know what's happening with his injury. I really don't. He practiced. It's like, what? I wasn't expecting that at all. But if there would be any complications down the way where it's like, okay, we might have to have a C.J. Beathard start, you know, coming somewhere down the line. Like, I don't want to trust that. I don't think Calvin Ridley, especially the way that he has been, you know, just kind of fluctuating. I guess you could say, yeah, he's a must start because you don't want to miss out on one of his upside boom weeks. But that's not really the argument. I don't think that's really the question that we're asking here. We're asking, is he a must start because Christian Kirk is out? I don't think Christian Kirk being out makes him a must start. I think it just saves his floor a little bit. Might be a little bit more upside on a weekly basis. But the way that we've seen Calvin Ridley get used, it hasn't been dependent on whether Christian Kirk is playing or not. They've had games where it's one or the other.
If the schedule was better, then I will be way more in on Calvin Ridley, but it's not great, right? Browns this week, Denzel Ward likely back. Ravens next week. Tampa the week after that, which is a really good matchup. I might be starting Calvin Ridley in that game. Carolina the week after that, not a good matchup. So there you go. That's it, right? So like three or four of these matchups, like I do not want Ridley in my lineup. Now, can he pop in one of these bad matchups? Sure. Like he did a little bit of that last week. So he can come through, but with the injury to Lawrence and all that, like it affects it as well. So I would say no, I agree. All right. Justin Fields or Brock Purdy rest of season. OMXR.15 wants to know. Now if you have both, I'm holding both, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because Fields is the better start this week. I think he has Detroit. And then he has Cleveland in week 15, tough matchup, but Purdy has Arizona. Okay. And then Purdy has Baltimore week 16, but Fields has Arizona. And then Purdy has Washington in week 17. And I'm going to have him ranked very, very high for that matchup. So, you know what I'm saying? So if you have both, I would hold both and you can kind of alternate between the two. That's how I would play it personally. But if you had to pick one rest of the season, Zach, who would it be?
If I have to pick one, so let's just assume, like, are we assuming we have both on our roster? Because I would probably have the same answer as you, would just be to hold. Like, if we have both of them on the roster, I would just say hold.
But if you have to drop one.
If I have to drop one, honestly, I think I'm going to go with, I'd probably drop Fields. And that's just me. The way that Brock Purdy is
playing. I think I agree with you.
The way that Brock Purdy is playing right now is hyper efficient. He has all of his weapons. Everybody's healthy. They have a really good schedule down the stretch. Your playoff schedule is fourth best in the league, you know, behind just the Seahawks, Titans, and Giants in those spans. So the way that they have, they're set up, they're going to be playing for the one seed. You know, this is the Bears. Like, the Bears, they're out of playoff contention pretty much at this point. They would probably be better served to just tank. That's probably not going to be the case. But the way that the 49ers set up, they have the good matchups coming up. They're going to be playing all the way through because they're probably going to be playing for the one seed. That's the way I look at it. Like, Brock Purdy's, he's in a position to just produce consistently, consistent, solid production, very good production even at that, because if he's going to be throwing two or three touchdowns a game, like, you're going to be fine. That's, I think the offense that he's in is much better. Justin Fields, he can have on and off games. I like the rushing floor with him, obviously, but are you going to hang your hat on Justin Fields rushing for 100 yards a game versus Brock Purdy, who's pretty much a lock for two touchdowns every game, just the way that the offense, just the offense that he's on. So I'm going with Brock Purdy here.
I like it. All right. Underscore, underscore, JBNDZ is asking for the best handcuffs to stash.
How many handcuff posts have we done? Like, I know you've done at least two or three that I've gone out
there. It changes. It changes. Things change. It does, right? That was a few weeks ago. So best handcuffs to stash. Let's go through these top handcuffs. So these are guys who don't have much value right now. Like, you can barely start them or you can't start them at all. But if the starter gets hurt, there's serious value here, right? I think the top guys, I would say, Tajay Spears, right? Obvious, right? If Derrick Henry were to get hurt, Tajay Spears would have an every down role. He's been efficient all year long. And regardless of game script, he will get it done for you. He might be an RB1 play if Derrick Henry were to get hurt.
He's been fantasy relevant even with Henry playing.
Independent.
Yeah. But like I said, he's been fantasy relevant even with Henry playing. You know what I mean? Like, he's had a couple of weeks where he's, like, generally solid. If you put him in your flex and weren't that upset, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And then you have Kenny Gainwell. Kenny Gainwell, if DeAndre Swift were to get hurt, Kenny Gainwell would potentially be a three-down back, right? He's already involved in the receiving game a little bit. We saw that last week. But this is a very good offense. And we see that Jalen Hurts is he's willing to check it down when he needs to, right?
Yeah.
Antonio Gibson, we're seeing the situation right now with Brian Robinson. If he were to go down, he has that hamstring injury right now. What happens after the bye, who knows? But Antonio Gibson is someone that you could stash. Chris Rodriguez might be a little bit involved on early downs, but I think Gibson's role would increase to the point where, you know, you kind of want him in your lineup as a PPR RB2. Then you have Tyler Allgeier, obviously. Like, we saw, you know, we know that situation. They're run-heavy offense. If anything were to happen to Bijan, Tyler Allgeier has 20 carry upside, behind a good offensive line in a run-first offense, right? Rico Dowdle, you know, behind Tony Pollard, right? You know, Rico Dowdle's like the Tony Pollard, well, Tony Pollard's Zeke now. That's just a joke. But Rico Dowdle, I agree with you. Him come in and be effective here at times, right? So I think Dowdle could potentially, you know, be a three down back if Pollard were to go down.
Yeah, I think that's a fair analysis right there. Just the way that Dowdle he scored a touchdown or two this season, and he looks, and it's funny the way it mirrors the Zeke Pollard situation last year, where it's just like, it seems like whoever the RB2 in Dallas is just has like an extra gear. Like, Tony Pollard doesn't have that this season. If you've watched the game, he lost it. Like, I don't know what happened, just disappeared, but maybe it's just like the way the Cowboys backfield works. But I think you're on the money with this one. Go ahead.
I think I have to. I'm really like thinking about that surgery he had, man. Like, I really am, you know? Like, I didn't think it was going to be a factor, but could very well be. You know?
That's my thing. Like, that's what everybody was banking on. Like, I know we talked about it over the offseason. It's like, this isn't an injury that should be, you know, slowing him down at this point. And he's looked better over the past couple weeks. I know you bring it up. Yeah.
We're getting more data around that injury right now, right? And that the data is now saying that, like, you know, maybe there is something to it. But last offseason, you know, it was something that wasn't really something we needed to worry about. But now we should, I think.
Right. Yeah, I hear you.
All right.
By the way, where's Zeke on this list?
Zeke is the starter right now.
Yeah, right. I guess if we did this episode last night, we would have been like, Zeke's the number one handcuff, probably. I don't know. Maybe number two. He wouldn't
have been last night, but like while Romagna was healthy, I think Zeke would have been.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
on this list for sure.
Yeah.
Jerick McKinnon, another one. Like, if anything were to happen to Pacheco, Pacheco's hurt right now, by the way. Elijah Mitchell would be another one, obviously, if CMC were to go down. I remember when CMC had that abdomen injury, and I was telling people to pick up Elijah Mitchell over Jordan Mason, and everyone got mad at me because Jordan Mason ended up getting touches. But it seems like that is the case, that they prefer Elijah Mitchell behind CMC right now. Ty Chandler, another one, like, you can barely start him, but like, if anything were to happen to Alexander Madison, he would be a three down back. He's shown some explosiveness this year as well. Dearness Johnson, he would be the guy right now behind
Travis Etienne.
What's his name? Travis Etienne, not Tank Bigsby. Yeah. It was Tank Bigsby early on. He's made too many mistakes. I think Dearness Johnson would be the guy that you want, in what could be a good offense down the stretch. And then I think it kind of drops off here, right? You have guys like Zamir White, Royce Freeman. I think he's been effective with his touches this year, right? And they cut Darrell Henderson. Even if they bring back Darrell Henderson in the event of a Kyren Williams injury, I think Royce Freeman would be the guy. And we saw that Royce Freeman was the guy in the game after the bye that Kyren Williams missed, like that last game that Kyren Williams missed. Like, Royce Freeman was the clear guy over Darrell Henderson in that game. Okay, so keep that in mind. A little bit of a nuance there, but it could help. And then you have guys like Miles Sanders, Michael Carter, Chase Brown. Chase Brown got some run, right, this past week. So, he could be someone that could, end up being fantasy relevant if Joe Mixon were to go down. And then I have Dalvin Cook here as well. If Breece Hall were to get hurt, I think Dalvin Cook would end up being a three-down back in that shitty offense.
A three down bad back. Yep.
Am I missing anyone? I think that about summarizes it.
Yeah, like I said, Zeke. That's it. I'm kidding. I don't know why I'm hung up on that. But that's it. Right, yeah. That's pretty comprehensive.
We appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend. Get that week 14 win. I'll be live on Instagram at 11 a.m. Eastern time. I'll see you guys then. Take it easy. Zach, have a great weekend, brother. Talk to you guys. Bye.